We're on the fourth and final vital sign as far as our study over the past 4 weeks is concerned. The fourth and final vital sign in the journey of discipleship, give. And this is the word of God that we'll be basing the message on, where the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 9 writes to a people who didn't have much money, but they were being encouraged to be part of a worldwide offering to help others. 2 Corinthians 9, beginning with verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. All we can do is trust God's grace. What do you think when somebody says that to you? All we can do is trust God's grace. Well, if you've come to see your pastor because you're really concerned about whether every one of your sins, even that one sin, has been forgiven, and he looks at you and he says, by grace you have been saved. You are justified freely by God's grace. All we can do is trust God's grace. And you say, thank you, Pastor. That's what I needed. I needed to hear that every last one of my sins has been cast into the depths of the sea. Nothing could be more comforting to me. All we can do is trust God's grace. But when you're on your flight from Milwaukee to Phoenix and you're up there at 37,000 feet, and after 15 minutes of what you thought was just really bad turbulence, the plane starts to jerk and roll in ways that those big birds weren't meant to fly, and the oxygen masks pop down, and people start screaming, and the plane is tilting back and forth, and suddenly you hear the pilot come on the intercom, and he says, there is something wrong with this plane. All we can do is trust the grace of God. Would that calm you down in that situation? Why is it that when I need to know that my sins are forgiven, All we can do is trust the grace of God is what I need. But when there's trouble with the plane, all we can do is trust the grace of God almost sounds like a message of pending doom. Why do we receive God's grace in different ways, depending on the situation? I don't know if I can answer that question, so what I'll do is ask another one. When you are asked to give money at church, and I mean the size of offering that you've really never thought that you would give, how do you feel when Paul, the Apostle Paul, says this to you, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. God seems to have enough grace to give us so that we can give generously. Does that calm our soul? Or does that make us a little nervous? There is a nerve. I know I got one. I think you have one too. It's the nerve that runs from my brain to my wallet. And it's a very sensitive nerve. And even though Jesus addressed that nerve plenty of times during his earthly ministry, from what we have in the Gospels, you heard it in tonight's Gospel lesson. Even though Jesus talked about it, even though God wants to bless me through that nerve, it can still be just a little bit, well, unnerving to hear about giving money in church. But here is God's bottom line to us today. The desire to bring God-pleasing offerings and the ability to bring God-pleasing offerings, that's all part of God's grace to us. Our giving, you see, is a gift of God's grace as much as the forgiveness of sins is a gift, as much as your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior from sin is a gift. So our giving is a gift from God. It's His grace. And just like all of His other gifts, God wants us to enjoy the grace of giving. And I think what we're going to find out tonight in this Word of God is that the Apostle Paul tells us that there are three things that happen when we bring a generous offering. Three gifts of God's grace. First of all, God blesses us. Then you get to help your neighbor. And finally, it's all to the glory of God. So God blesses us, we help our neighbor, and it's all to the glory of God. Way back in the 50s, not the 1950s, just the 50s, the Apostle Paul was called by God to conduct a worldwide offering to benefit poor, persecuted Jewish Christians in Jerusalem. And the Corinthians, the people to whom he's writing this letter, they were the first Christians to get on board. Even though they lived 1,900 miles, and believe me, back then that was a lot farther than it is now, 1,900 miles away from Jerusalem. In other words, they are never going to see these people. They're never going to meet them. But they were the first to get on board and say, yes, we want to give an offering to help them because they're poor and they're persecuted. And as often happens with, you know, that nerve from the brain to the wallet, things bogged down. The offering bogged down. There were spiritual problems in the congregation. And so there's a decent part of 2 Corinthians, two whole chapters, that is devoted to speaking to this one part of our faith, the grace of giving. And Paul wants to remind these Christians that actually God would bless them through their giving. Now, wait a minute. How is God going to bless me when I give away my blessing of money? To answer that, Paul says, well, take a look at the farmer. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. You know any farmers? Are you a farmer? Well, I didn't get a lot of response on that. But if you know some farmers, if you got some farmers in the family, you know that there is no farmer out there that thinks it is a waste to sow seed. There's no farmer out there who says, yeah, I got lots of sacks of seed in the barn. And you say, well, are you going to sow it? No, but I'm going to have lots of sacks of seed in the barn. What would we think of such a farmer? We'd think he's very foolish indeed, and he didn't know how to be a farmer, because a farmer knows that the only place for the seed that he has purchased is to get out of the sack, out of the barn, and into the earth. And that's when it will produce a harvest. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. So God promises to bless us when we give an offering. Now, this can be a problem. See, there's that nerve again. And that nerve is telling me that the blessing that I expect and really have coming back to me when I give is more money. So we can sinfully look at this grace of giving, this financial offering. We can look at it almost like it's some sort of cosmic slot machine. You know, if I put $100 in, maybe I'll get $1,000 back. God never promises to bless our sowing of the seed of an offering with some kind of a return on our money. In fact, a return on our money financially would be a very low-level blessing from God. What God does promise to give us is that as we exercise our faith in Him, exercise our faith in Him through giving a generous offering, He promises that we will have even more faith to do more godly deeds in our relationship with Him and with one another. God promises us that in the grace of giving. We trust Him on that because He's never let us down with anything else He's ever promised us. We trust Him to bless us abundantly as we give generously. And as we give generously, not only does God bless us, but we get to help our neighbor. We get to fulfill, carry out the second great commandment. You know, remember how Jesus kind of summed up the law of God, he said, well, the first commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And the second great commandment is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And he just summed the whole thing up in that way. Giving an offering is a way for us to keep that second great commandment. And this was not lost on the Corinthian Christians. They knew that they would be helping people who lived in faraway Jerusalem, who really needed the help. They knew that they would be helping their neighbor, loving their neighbor as themselves through that offering. But there's even more. Listen to this. By your offering, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. Giving an offering for the purpose of helping somebody a long ways away was a way for these Christians to say, we're one with you. You're part of our family. We got a fellowship of faith here. We got a family of faith. And again, even though they never saw each other this side of glory, they still considered each other family, and the offering was a big part of that. In their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. All of that was occasioned by giving an offering. Now, when we give an offering here at St. Marcus, a portion of it, a percentage of it, and I'm just going to talk about this one little percentage of it because I think it makes the point Paul is making very well. A percentage of it goes to what we call a congregational mission offering, which is sent to our parent church body, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. And what that church body does with that portion of our offerings is they primarily do two things. They start and support missions in North America and around the world, and they support the education of people who are preparing themselves for ministry in four different schools around the country. So every offering we give, in part, so just think of this, if you give on a weekly basis, there's a portion of that offering that is essentially saying to that brother or sister in South America or South Carolina, for that matter, who, again, we may never meet this side of glory, but what we're saying is, we're one with you. You're part of our family. We want to support you. And if I could, by my offering, say to a new group of Christians in Mozambique, I'm one with you. We're brothers and sisters. Wouldn't I do that? And if I could say to this 19-year-old young woman who is studying to be a teacher, that I think it is just great that she is dedicating her life to telling children that Jesus loves them. Wouldn't I do that? Now, of course, our offerings can go for many, many other wonderful things, and they do. But this is the fellowship aspect of giving an offering. We get to say to other people, we're all one family, even if we never get to meet them in person. So getting blessed ourselves, helping our neighbor, those are good reasons to give. But you know, if it weren't for this third one, they'd be kind of rotten reasons. Here's the ultimate reason with which Paul ends his message to us tonight. He says, when you give an offering, it is to the glory of God. And if that sounds like worship, it's because it is. Giving is worship. It's glorifying God. And it was deeply important to Paul that the Corinthians got that. In the chapter prior to this one, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul had used a group of Christians in Macedonia as an example for the Corinthians. And he said this about them. When he described them giving an offering, he said this: they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then they gave us an offering, which we then used in Jerusalem. So you see, those Christians understood that the offering is really one way that we can honor God. It's one way that we can express our love and thanks to God. It's one way that we can worship the Lord, and we can worship Him with a part of our life that a lot of us think is sort of like off limits, the financial part. And come to think of it, if giving an offering is not worship, what are we doing here? Why are we even considering it in our worship service? But of course, it is worship. It's part of our saying to the Lord, Father, I know you don't need my offering, but I need to give it to you because I need to worship you. I need to tell you how much you mean to me. I need to show you this token of a greater offering that I give to you. And that's my heart. That's my life that I give to you. I need to give this to you to say thank you for what you have given to me. Giving an offering is worship. And it blesses us, and it helps our neighbor. So what's not to enjoy? Let's enjoy thanking God for, as Paul calls it, the indescribable gift, that God would choose you from eternity to be His child. That's an indescribable gift. And that He would make you a member of His family by water and the word, that's an indescribable gift. And that He would bless you and others through your giving, that's an indescribable gift. And that He would allow me to glorify Him by giving back some of what He has already given me. Indescribable gift. It's the grace of giving. God has given it to us. Enjoy it. Amen. Let us pray. Father, whose bounty all creation shows, Christ, by whose willing sacrifice we live, Spirit, from whom all life in fullness flows, to you, with grateful hearts, ourselves we give. Amen.
podcast is a production of St. Marcus Ministries. For similar content, subscribe to our St. Marcus Church YouTube channel or follow us on Facebook. If you're seeking ways to grow, serve, or give, download the Church Center app and add St. Marcus as your church. There, you can submit private prayer requests, receive weekly news updates, and more. If you enjoy these messages, please subscribe and share with a friend. Thank you for listening, and God bless.